First Kings, chapter number 17. We want to wish our fathers this morning a happy Father's Day, and we'll reserve some time at the end of our service to recognize our fathers and give honor where honor is due. Saw a meme the other day about expository preachers, and the meme said the preacher gets up and says, "Happy Father's Day. Now turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Y'all don't get that, do you? I heard a couple chuckles. A couple get it. We're not going to spend time too much speaking directly to our fathers this morning, but we do want to give them honor. That was the whole point of it. I'm sorry it was weak, but the ones that got it, thank you, Brother Mary and Derek. I heard a chuckle, so the rest of y'all look up expository preaching, and we'll try it again next week. But we are here in 1 Kings. I actually got here this week. I was kind of, mentioned last week we were just going to do a one-hit wonder, hopefully, and then not leaving you wondering what we were preaching about, but wondering in amazement of how great the Word of God is. This morning, as I got a lot of really positive feedback, or feedback at all, last week from the message, and I think I was thinking about it this week while, you know, so many people had commented on it. I think it's because that we were so familiar with the story. We were so familiar with the Hebrew children there in the fiery furnace, and we grew up with those stories. They were told to us in Sunday school, and then it followed us all on up into our adulthood. If you had the privilege to be raised in church and to be raised in the truths of the Scripture, and I think that's why I received a lot of comments on it, because we're so familiar with it. So then I thought, well, let's just go back and look at some of the real familiar passages, particularly in the Old Testament Scripture, those stories that if you've spent any time at all in church, you're familiar with these. And I'm just going to pick them at random. I'm not saying I'm going in any particular order. A lot of times I'll start a particular way. Well, here we were, started last week in Daniel, and we're going all the way back into 1 Kings this morning. And so there may not be a good order. It might be one of the things we got to arrange the order after. So we're going to kind of go back and look at these old stories that we're so familiar with, but yet are so rich with truth. You know, I try not to use the Scripture, and I know we've talked about it before, as Aesop's fables, where we just read the Scripture and try to get some moral truth out of it and then go with that and say, well, we've rightly divided the Word, but we can pull the truth out of it, and because God's Word is truth, we can learn something of God. As we were singing the song there toward the end of our worship, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I might see you." And that we might see him face to face, that we might have that face-to-face fellowship with our God, that we understand and know who our God is. The Scripture says, "They that know their God will do exploits." Amen. It doesn't take long to be having a discussion with someone, whether it be a churchgoer or just someone maybe you work with, And you can kind of pick up pretty quickly on the depth of their knowledge of their God, whether or not they've surrendered their lives to him as Lord. And I don't say that in arrogance. I don't mean to do that. And if it's coming across that way, I apologize for that. But we need to know our God. We need to know and rightly represent him. And when we get into the Word of God, and even these stories that I want to look at over the next few Sundays, when we get into the Word of God and we can pull out the truths of who God is, because if you've heard me say it once, and I've heard you guys say it as well, that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that what we know of God. And he's not going to change that. Change would signify imperfection. Change would even say that there was a need for one, because our God is perfect. He is, as we were saying here, holy, holy, holy. And so we don't say it out of arrogance, but we want to learn together the truths of who God is. And when we see how God is dealing with mankind, even from the beginning, from the book of Genesis on, really, we get an understanding of who God is and how he deals with man. And he is the same. He has not changed. He's the same in Genesis 1 as he is in the final chapter of Revelation. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says, I change not. I'm Lord. I change not. And so as we look through these passages, I'll invite you to do this with me. It's just try to pick out truths of God, you know, how he deals with mankind and how he declares himself. And here in particular, this morning, I want to go into the life of the prophet Elijah. I'm not planning to go through every story. It just so happens that when I was going back and thinking about some of the very familiar stories in the Old Testament that are often preached and often quoted, a lot of them have to do in the life of the prophet Elijah and some of the great things that happened with him and how that God used this great man. And witnessed in a very trying time. And so, you know, it's not hard for us to move into where we sit right here in 2024,